Well, may it please God to once again bless us as we meditate in the 119th Psalm. And this evening we'll speak from verses 21 to 24. So that's Psalm 119, reading verses 21 to 24. And they read as follows. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So these four verses start with a very solemn situation, really. The Lord says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. And in the Word of God, there are a number of, we might think, eminent people who came under this category. We can think of Cain, right back in the beginning, the son of Adam and Eve. And of course he did that which was wrong. He offered a wrong sacrifice. He had a wrong motive, and he expected God to recognize what he was offering. And we find that he was proud and that he was sadly cursed. He was not one of the Lord's children. And yet he was privileged to be on the earth with just Adam and Eve and his brother Abel. And so we see how we need to remember that God is a sovereign God, and God calls whom he will and leaves those who are proud and self-centered and only concerned to do that which pleases themselves. And so the result is they err from the commandments of God. They turn away from that which is right. And not only example of Cain, and we won't go through, there's a whole list of them, but we can think of Pharaoh, the king who was there when the Israelites were in Egypt, and how his heart was hardened. He wouldn't allow the Israelites to come out of Egypt, and he rebuked those who came before him, as Joseph did. And we think how sad these things were. And yet, we realize that he was not one of those whom God had called. And then we think of, perhaps lastly, we can think of Haman. You remember Haman lived in the days of Esther, and how he was bent on people bowing down to him. He was so proud. And of course, he was totally against Mordecai, because Mordecai did not stand up and did not bow down to Haman. And we know, of course, that Haman was very angry when he saw that and determines to take the life of Mordecai. But God very wonderfully appeared. It's a lovely little account when we see that the king in those days, the king could not sleep. So the Lord has the hearts and lives of us all in his hands. And the king could not sleep, and therefore he called for the records of those things which had occurred, the chronicles. And they were brought, and in those chronicles it was told that Mordecai had been the person who had warned the king that there was a plot to slay him. And he wanted to know what honour was done to him. And they said there was no honour. So he then decided to honour him. And he wanted to know who was there available to speak to. And Haman was the person. But of course Haman then saw Mordecai and was more angry than ever. And his intention was to hang that poor man Mordecai. But we see how it was overthrown. All his plans were overthrown He was proud, but he was cursed. And he erred from keeping the commandments of God. So we see how the Lord is sovereign in his ways. And then we go on to verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. We may think, well, did the psalmist have reproach and contempt? Well, quite clearly, he did. And the truth is that in measure, all the church of God have reproach and contempt. And if we indeed are a true believer, and if we demonstrate in our lives we are a true follower of the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we hear those gracious words of the Saviour who said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We don't like to deny ourselves, do we? We like to do what we want to do, what is pleasing to us. But we don't want to have to bear reproach and contempt. So therefore we try and avoid things which might bring that upon us. And yet we should realize that we have a great and glorious and wonderful example in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we follow the words of the Bible which speak to us about him and what he bore, and we have a very full statement in the Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 12 to 14. This is what it reads. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He was a castaway, cast out, rejected. And so we read, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That means united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are a true follower of the Saviour, we should expect reproach and expect contempt, like the blessed Lord did. And he carries on in that same chapter in the Hebrews and gives a wonderful reason. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And in reality, that puts things in a right perspective. It demonstrates to us that the poor things of time will fade away. They will not be here forever. And in this world, we do not have a continuing city. But what a blessing it is if God has given us his grace, his favour, to seek one to come. What a blessing that is. And it's good if you and I are able to examine ourselves to see where we stand with regard to that. Remove from me reproach and contempt, said the psalmist, for I have kept thy testimonies. Well, what a blessing it is if God enables us to keep his testimonies, to keep his commands, to follow his good and gracious example, because our life on this earth is very short and eternity has no time. It is forever. Well, what a mercy it is then if we're given grace to keep his testimonies. And then really the psalmist goes on, verse 23, he says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And who are they? Well, you know, in the Revelation we have a very beautiful statement, and it's this: these are they which follow the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. What a great and wonderful blessing it is if you and I are those who are redeemed. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, has died to take away our sins, so that when we come down to pass out of time into eternity, it will be well with our soul. We don't have a continuing city here. We seek one to come. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's a good statement, isn't it? Something to ponder, isn't it? Ponder the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder his example. And may we each be given grace and desire to truly take up our cross and to follow him. Well, the psalmist says, princes also did sit and speak against me. Yes, many people may speak against us, but he says, thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Again, my friends, we have the word of God to meditate upon. There's no better occupation than meditating in the word of God. It may be difficult. The devil's at our elbow, not wanting us to meditate in the great words of Scripture. But what a blessing it is if the Lord gives us that living desire to do that which is right and God-honoring, and to indeed meditate in his statutes. In the 14th chapter of John, which is, I'm sure you know, a beautiful chapter, the Lord Jesus spoke when he was in the upper room to his disciples. And towards the end of that chapter, the Lord says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The obvious is true. If we do not keep his commandments, we do not love him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What a wonderful blessing that is, isn't it? What a wonderful favour to think of that. Yes, as we meditate upon the great and glorious statutes of the Word of God, and will manifest myself to him. To think the Lord Jesus shows himself to us as our Saviour. He hasn't left us. He hasn't passed us by. He's come to us where we are. Meditate in his word. What a blessing that is. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? It's a fair question. What's the answer? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, the statutes of God. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then the Lord tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, with regard to following the Saviour, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you and I meditate upon the great and glorious truths of God, to realise the wonder of it, we might think how hard it will be, how difficult it will be. He tells us to be united to Christ is easy, because he is a great and glorious Saviour, and he understands you and me better than we understand ourselves. He knows exactly what we need. And then he says, and my burden is light. We might think, oh, if I profess the name of the Saviour, it'll be a very difficult and hard life. Remember the word of God, and my burden is light. And then we, as we think about meditating in the word of God, the 24th verse tells us, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsellors. The word of God. What is the word of God? Well, we're told in the Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit. What is it? That is the word of God, which is the word of God. And my friends, the sword of the Spirit is a sharp sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It's a great blessing to therefore have the word of God and to bless him for it. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And again, we read in the Psalms, in the fourth Psalm, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. It means spiritual blessings are so much more important and produce so much more happiness and gladness in our heart than all the blessings and the things of this world can bring. Thy testimonies also are my delight. And then finally we read that 16th Psalm because of some beautiful words, and we just read them in conclusion. The 7th to the 9th verses, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins, that means our hearts. My hearts also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Well, may we ponder these words and be encouraged by them to realize that we have a God who is always there, who does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, may God be gracious and bless his word and the meditation to our soul's profit.